Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the podcast of Everything Church Related. And for our listening audience, I have a special broadcast for you today. This is actually a dual broadcast because we're going to put this on the Kingdom Crossroad Podcast and Evangelism Radio as well. Praise God. Now, as we get started, I want to encourage you to reach out to us. Send me a note, send me an email, let me know that you're listening. Just send it to bob@everythingchurchrelated.com. You know, ask your questions, make comments, because we enjoy hearing from you. And some questions we may ask to our guests at some point in time. Now, today, I have a special treat for you. Coming all the way from the UK, my special guest is an author. She's co-authored two highly acclaimed books, which we'll get into in a minute. She's contributed more than 40 different national newspapers, magazines, television, and radio stations. And get this, she has received over $2 million in free publicity and free advertising. Does that sound like something you could use? It does to me. Join me and welcome you to this program, Sharon Bowles. Sharon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, Bob. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show. I'm so excited to be here.
Hey, man, we are just chomping at the bit waiting to hear what you're going to tell us. Now, other than a brief intro I just gave, can you fill us in? Who is Sharon Bolt?
Well, I live in the United Kingdom. I was born here. I've been an entrepreneur for over 16 years. I've been married for 20 years. I have a lovely husband and I have two lovely dogs as well. We'll probably talk about those maybe a little bit during our interview because when they came into my life nearly 13 years ago, they changed my life and my career. So yes, it's quite an exciting story about them and how things changed.
Amen. Tell us that story. I mean, you teased us with it. Now we got to hear it.
Well, at the time, Bob, I was actually working in complementary therapies, which is a natural healing therapy business. Mm-hmm. I had my own business there. It was doing really well. And I saw such lovely people and such beautiful healings for people would take place. So I loved what I was doing and being able to just play a part in someone's journey of healing. And then we got two little puppies, Parson Russell Terriers, boys from the same litter, and we brought them home. They were 8 weeks old and very excited. They were these two little bundles of fluff, and we decided that we'd get them into some puppy socialization classes. Okay. Well, little did I know, Bob, at the time, was that that's a really popular thing to do. So they were all full, which meant that I spoke to about 7 or 8 different dog trainers. Well, when I told them what I had, these two puppies, male from the same litter, they all said to me, oh my goodness, that's the worst case scenario.
Really?
That's the worst thing you could possibly do. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, because they're blood related, they will just look at each other and do whatever they want. And because they're two males, they will fight for the top dog position, whereby it will get really nasty and you'll very likely need to rehome one of them.
Hmm.
Well, as you can imagine, Bob, I was devastated.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it's probably like, you know, giving up one of your children, isn't it? Which one would you choose?
Yeah,
so I just looked at my little puppies there and I said, you know what? You two are not going anywhere. So I was on a mission. And that's how it all began. I looked for a natural way of speaking to them, of working with them. It had to be kind, it had to be gentle, and it had to be ticking their boxes. So it was really about me learning their language rather than trying to humanize them and make them try and understand me.
Right.
Well, it just changed my whole life and career. I very shortly after that went to become a professional dog trainer. And they're nearly 13 years of age now. So they're lovely dogs, very happy and healthy. There's never been a crossword between them, and they're just a joy and a pleasure to have.
Amen. Glory to God. So that started you down this path.
Yes, it did. And not only did it start me down the path of becoming a professional dog trainer, it also started me down the path straight away almost into the publicity world as well, because I very quickly was featured within the media. Wow. So I have another story if you'd like to hear about that.
Absolutely.
Well, what happened was, and people were a little bit shocked when they first hear about my first media appearance, because I got myself booked on BBC Radio 2, which is a national radio station here in the UK, and I had no prior media exposure. Now, what was shocking at the time was that I got myself invited as a dog training expert onto the show, and I didn't have a dog training website. I wasn't doing dog training professionally. What I was doing is I was working and seeing huge differences with my own dogs. And I'd also started doing consultations with my clients who came for their therapies. So I was seeing all of these changes taking place. And at the time, Bob, what happened was I was listening to this national radio station, and the host said, next week we're going to do a feature on dog training and we'll get an expert onto the show. Well, I thought to myself, well, hang on a minute, I'm really making a difference. I can see the changes and I think I've got a lot to offer. So I thought, you know what, I can do that. So what I did is I sat down and I wrote an email to the show. And I knew that I needed to make it all about them and what I could do for their listeners and not about me. Okay. So that's what I did. I wrote this email. I explained about dog training, why things happened and what the solution was and how I could educate and entertain their audience. Well, I sent it off and nothing happened. So a couple of days. Yeah, it was probably about a couple of days later. I was listening again and the host then said, oh, we're also going to do a feature next week about overweight dogs. And he actually called them podgy dogs. So I thought to myself, well, I know all about nutrition. I do nutrition with my own dogs. I thought, you know what? I can do that too. So I sat down again and I wrote this email explaining why I was good to come onto the show, what I could do for them. And then in the subject title on this email, Bob, I wrote, Podgy Dogs, I'm your girl. And I sent it off. Well, nothing happened.
Again.
So this was then on the Friday. And then during that weekend, I did a consultation for one of my clients. And it was about a dog that was literally eating the house from the inside out because it had severe separation anxiety from its owner. So when I did that consultation, I came home then and I wrote another email to the show. I explained about the consultation and why these things happen and what I needed to do in order to fix it. So I sent it off. Monday morning, I got a call from the researcher. And he did what I know now as a quick little mini interview over the phone to make sure I could string two words together. Anyway, on the Wednesday, so 2 days later, I was sitting on the show. I went up to the studio in London, sitting on in the studio, answering dog training questions. I was introduced as a dog training expert because that's what I said I was. Mm-hmm. And I was then speaking to 4 million listeners.
Amen. And then what happened?
Well, then I thought, wow, you know, if I can do that, and I was very passionate about the dog training, then where I'd had that initial passion for the therapies and was so excited about that, that had switched and changed over more to the dog training. And it really, my USP, for example, was about training the owner first. So I would focus on the dog owner and not the dog, because it was about empowering the dog owner about the language of dogs. Mm. So I very quickly transitioned. Now, bearing in mind, I wasn't set up to really make the most of that interview to 4 million listeners, because I had no dog training website. I didn't even have an email address. Mm. So I didn't get a huge...
Let me interrupt for 1 second. Did your phone just blow up with people wanting to talk to you? Did they give out your phone number or anything like that?
No. They gave out the information to my complementary therapist and my therapy website, because that's all I had. Okay. And I'd quickly made one page up about dog training. So do you know what, Bob? No, I didn't have the phone ringing off the wall either. I just wasn't set up for it. Okay. But I tell you what I did have is that when I then transitioned, I had that huge credibility, and I was a startup company. Mm-hmm. I had that huge credibility because I had been featured in a national radio station. Yeah. So I had positioned myself as an expert right at the very beginning of my new career, and that's when it really took off.
Mm. So once you got a website up, how did you start promoting it?
Well, a lot of it to begin with was word of mouth. People were hearing about the changes that were happening with their dogs. But then I continued then down the publicity route, and I was interviewed on national radio. Again, I was also on national TV. I did some breakfast morning TV programs. Well, at this stage, Bob, I can tell you I was ready. I had the dog training website then, so I also had a freebie for somebody to sign up for my newsletters on my website, so I could start building a relationship with potential clients and also giving lots of great content and helpful advice to people. So really, with all the media exposure that I was getting, I was getting a lot of traffic to my website, which was really putting me very well established with Google, because I had some very high authoritative web links back to my site. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't actually do a lot of paid advertising. Most of it was this free advertising, and I was filling my database up with people that were very interested that had seen me in the media.
Wow. Now, since you did that first interview, but you weren't set up, how did you leverage that into future interviews and you know, actually getting your foot in the door of receiving some additional interviews and publicity?
Yeah, it's a good question, Bob, isn't it? Because as we were saying, no, I wasn't set up, but what it enabled me to do is, like, when I did have that website set up, I could just splatter over there that I had already been featured on, I mean, the name of the DJ was Chris Evans. It's a very, very well-known DJ in the UK. Everybody knows who he is in the UK, whether they love or hate him. Everyone knows him. And for that reason, you know, that with the radio station, people knew that. So it enabled me to be able to quote that on my website and in all of my marketing that I had been featured as a guest. Now, the great thing is that when you're featured and you're promoted in that way, it is as if you're being endorsed by that media outlet. So people see you as very credible. So that's how I really leveraged it, because I was able to then say that I'd already been on that show, and that just really opened doors for me.
Amen. Now, when you reach out to these radio stations or magazines or newspapers and you're just getting started, what should be the major emphasis? I believe you said explain what your interview will do for them, not for you. But how can you do something like that? Let's say someone has a a business of, we'll just use repairing cars. Okay, not just doing an advertisement for the repair garage, but, you know, to help people with whatever they're trying to do. How would someone do something like that?
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Well, the thing that you need to do is to be giving great advice and great content, because if you go into the mind of a journalist, what I always teach to people, you have to go into the mind of a journalist. A bit like, you know, when I used to teach about dogs, you have to go into the mind of the dog. So whoever it is that you're trying to reach, you need to go into their mindset in order to tick their boxes. And what happens for the media and for a journalist, they are looking for people to give them great content and also to educate and entertain their audience. So what could you do that could give them a good story? So it could be some advice. It could be three tips or five simple steps to do something to in line with your particular business. You know, it could be like if it was the car repair, you know, are there three simple steps to doing an oil change, for example? Okay. Or, you know, just something
or
that...
Safety checks or something like that because of the winter weather and...
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So anything that the way that I also teach people to do is to really know your target market. So what are their pain points? What keeps them awake at night? What do they worry about? What do they want to know about? So that also gives you a really good insight of what types of story ideas are going to be attractive. And then what you do is once you know what your target market pain points are, you then also research the right journalists that like to feature your type of story.
Okay. So you're not just going to write to the ABC radio station. You want to, you know, John Smith at ABC Radio.
That's exactly right. Okay. And so it does take some research to find the right person, because we don't want John Smith from ABC radio station. If he does works on a different type of show, that is of no interest to him. So the thing with journalists, it has to be relevant. So you have to be relevant to them and their audience. So this is why a lot of business owners, they start to try publicity and they think, do you know what, it just doesn't work for me.
Too hard, yeah. Now, what about on radio stations and televisions, on television programs, like that, they have the production assistant or the producer. They're usually the ones who handle scheduling guests and things like that, correct?
Yeah, there can be a producer. It can sometimes be a booker or a researcher. So it's one of those types of people. It all depends how big the department is and how many people are there. Sometimes it's the producer that does it all. So, for example, I have a regular radio slot now on BBC Radio.
Amen.
On my local radio.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Go ahead and tell us what it is. What's the name of it?
That's BBC Radio Sussex and Surrey, and that's where I go down once a month and I do a phone in and I answer the listeners' doggy dilemmas, and I have been on that for over 8 years now. So it's just something that's, you know, really, really good to do, but it gives me a great insight to what goes on. Mm. And when I turn up at the studio, there's one producer dealing with everything. Even though it's a BBC radio station, it is one of the local rather than national stations, but even so, it's the BBC one. But it's still just one producer who's taking care of that show, so that would be the person to speak to. But other places, particularly TV, and what I've noticed in my interviews that I've had on TV, is that they have researchers.
Okay.
So that tends to be the people, but they do swap and change quite quickly, and they are often freelance as well. So there's your research. You've got to really find out who are the best people for you to contact.
Now, if they change their researchers who are doing this, do you call the station and ask who does the research for John Smith's television spot, or you know, how would you find out this? Because if you have a researcher and you see their name listed in the credits on the television program, we'll say.
Yes.
And, you know, you write it down and you have it in your database and say, you know, 2-3 months go by, okay, I'm ready to reach out to them now. That person may not be there.
That's true.
How do we find who that is?
Yeah, I've had this happen to me quite a few times, Bob, and there's a number of things that I do. One of the things is that if you've built a good relationship, and it's all about building good relationships, it's like, you know, no different from any other type of connection you're going to have with people. It's about building good relationships with journalists. And if you've done that, then even when they've moved on to do something else, they do respond back to your email.
Okay.
And then they say, oh, I'm not actually covering that section or doing that TV program anymore, but I'll give you the email to the person that is.
Okay.
So that's one way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Another way is going on Twitter. And just in the search, just put in, say that it was ABC Radio, just put ABC Radio producer or ABC Radio researcher and see what comes up. It's a great way of really finding out.
Yeah, because there people are, I want to say bragging, but they're like, hey, I'm now the producer for this new program, something like that. And they'll put it on Twitter and there it is.
Yeah. That's right. And you see, also what they do is they like to then obviously let people know about programs that they're working on and what they've produced, because obviously it creates more ratings. And that's what their bosses are looking for. So what I found is that with Twitter, it is the journalists are very, very visible on Twitter.
Amen. Amen. Now, when you're reaching out via email, you know, because they probably get, you know, I know I get literally hundreds of emails every day with 98% of them being spam. Okay.
Yes.
They're receiving the same thing probably tenfold.
Yes.
You say that you need to have a very important headline that will reach out and grab their attention. What type of headlines should we use?
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, Bob, because it is. If we don't get their attention, then, well, we could have a great story, but they just don't open our emails.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the most important thing when you're sending an email to somebody, into a journalist, because if you don't get their attention, well, that's it gone. Now, as I've said, it's important to be relevant. So if, for example, if you're sending an email to somebody who covers a car program and you're a dentist who has some great advice about teeth whitening, for example, it's a great story, but of no relevance or interest to that particular journalist.
Right.
So we touched on this earlier, but I just wanted to reiterate that, because that is the most common problem and mistake that business owners make, and it's the pet hate of most journalists, being sent stuff that is just nothing for them and totally irrelevant. Most journalists, to be honest, Bob, will get hundreds and hundreds of emails a day.
Yeah.
And they don't even bother looking at them. So, yes, let's go on to about what it is. So the thing that you're aiming for is in that subject line, you need to let them know. It's like a synopsis in that line of to what your story idea is about. So without them even, you know, no clever words or jargon or anything, just pure and simple. So say, for example, you're a heating engineer. You could come up with a story idea and put in that subject line something like 3 little known ways to save on heating bills. Whereas if you're a health and diet expert, you could then put something like lose weight fast with this rare spice. Or say even a HR consultant could be 5 powerful strategies for hiring the perfect employee. Now, at the very, very beginning of that subject headline, you're going to put story idea or press release or something. Okay. And then so that the journalist knows that it's a potential story for them. And then you have to be very clear of what it is about.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Man, time just flies by when you're getting so much information. I mean, it is like trying to take it in from a fire hose. I mean, Sharon Bolt is an expert in her field at getting free publicity and teaching other people how to get free publicity for their businesses, for their podcasts, if you're trying to get increased exposure for your podcast, speaking business. It doesn't matter what job you're in. If you're running a tire shop, you need to get free publicity to get more advertising and to get more revenue. And she's here to teach us how to do it. We're going to come back again tomorrow. She's got more information that was given in this interview. I just wish we had more time today to get the entire interview in. So we had to split it in two parts. So come back tomorrow because we're going to take it right back up. And she is awesome. Don't you agree? Come back tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob Thibodeau reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.